It's a cell.
I think so. It's trying to look them up.
It is.
On there, so if we miss you, please speak up.
Hi, good evening, Commission. This is Bobby Olvera with the ILWU. I'm sorry, I just logged in.
Thanks, Bobby. Go ahead. You have you would like to speak on something not on the agenda?
Yes, commissioners, thank you. If I'm live right now, would this be the appropriate time for me to make some comments? And if so, could you please inform me on the time limit for my comments?
Three minutes and on items not on the agenda, not agendized items at this point in the agenda.
Outstanding. I just landed at the airport, so I think I can do under 3 minutes. So good evening, commissioners. My name is Bobby Olvera Jr. I'm the International Vice President for the ILWU, as well as the Vice President for the Long Beach Harbor Commission and the President for the Association of Pacific Ports. I come to you tonight to reiterate some comments and some discussions that have been had in the previous year and a half, and that is the historical and geographical jurisdiction of the ILWU and ILWU Local 14. Our workers, and I know President Rick Souza from Eureka, either has spoken or will be speaking to you tonight. We just want to reiterate our commitment both long-term and historically to both the communities and the port of Humboldt Bay. Longshore men and women have been working in Humboldt Bay from logs to fiber optics, assisting both the port and the community at large. The jobs and the workers that work within the ILWU have created a bastion of the middle class when industries have failed. And we've seen that, and I know that you, particularly commissioners, you've seen that over the years. In 1990, I actually worked in your port doing plywood ships, and I've seen the devastating impacts of some of the changes of industry. What the ILWU is asking tonight on a non-agenda item is that as we look forward to the industries of the future and how the port is gonna develop in the future, myself as a port commissioner, and as I said, also on the business side as the president of the APP and the international vice president of the ILWU, I want to reiterate our commitment as longshoremen, women, marine clerks, and foremen to continue to do the marine operations there in the port of Humboldt. We are encouraged but slightly worried with some of the recent press releases and discussions that we've had in both Sacramento and in Eureka, that some of the discussions they're having with the port and some of the potential leaseholders are not including the ILWU. We are not a transient workforce, and I want to reiterate, this is a workforce in Local 14 in the ILWU that has been there in your community for decades and decades and decades. And the ILWU pulls from a pool of 14,000 workers, where at any given time, as I said, even in the 80s, when I was a member of Local 10 in San Francisco, when plywood ships came to Eureka, we travel workers immediately to address the needs of those ports. And we've done that successfully, efficiently, for many, many, many decades. And I would urge you in any of your discussions on potential future uses and utilization.
Hey, Bobby, your 3 minutes is up. Sorry about that, pal.
My 3 minutes is up. I'm sorry.
No, hey, thanks, man. Oh, yeah.
I appreciate everything, and I wish you guys a good evening.
Thank you, Bobby. Thank you. Pat Hooven, please. We're going to go right down the list here. We have quite a few hands up.
Hi, my name is Pat Hogan. I'm president of the Humboldt County Builders Exchange. First, I want to thank Larry, Mr. Oetker, for meeting with us a few weeks ago and sending over the information that we requested. We started going through it, and holy smokes, there's a lot to go through. I've been talking with some of our members and other community members, and we kind of had a thought of maybe that we should form a committee of stakeholders, including the members of your board, the Builders Exchange, possibly interested parties from local tribal communities, labor representatives, and anyone else that could help go through the draft agreement and come up with an inclusive, fair, and equitable plan that works for everybody. And this is a project that is far bigger than anything I think we've ever seen on the North Coast. And we feel it's pretty important to take our time, get it right for all the parties, including our local workers and our community. Thank you.
Thanks, Pat. Sheree Marie Marini. Sheree, you have your hand up.
Sorry about that. Thank you for taking my call. So my name is Sheree Marini. Speaking on item 7, I am the apprentice coordinator for ABC NorCal, a merit-based apprenticeship program. We've been doing work for over 50 years dispatching apprentices all over the state. We have a diverse workforce, partner with NAWIC, who works with a lot of women and just giving them opportunities. We would like it if you could just include language that would at least keep the option for folks, because we do have a number of apprentices who, they come to us from all over the state. We just urge that you would include them and give them the opportunity. We try to dispatch, folks that are close by. So especially women who live in these rural areas are applying to crafts that they wouldn't, because they can hopefully keep work in their area. I would just urge you to keep language open for opportunities for these folks to thrive. Thank you.
Thank you. Scott Frazier.
Thank you. I have two comments and a question. I'd like to ask if a $300,000 contract with Tenera has been successfully concluded early. It wasn't due to be completed until April of next year. And when will the final report be released to the public? My first point. Secondly, following Pat Hovind's comment, if you create a stakeholder group, it would be nice if you have an environmental community representative on the stakeholder group.
Thanks, Scott. James, I don't have a last name for you, James. I just have James with your hand up. James, you're muted still.
Yeah, sorry. My name's James. I'm part of a longtime family-owned business here in Humboldt County, and we just want to make sure that we are not left behind in this project. 85% of the local contractors here in Humboldt County are merit shops and merit contractors, and just want to make sure that the things that we do here are fair, and we want to make sure that we are included in all the projects here and make sure all the money that's spent on this project doesn't go out of the area to contractors from out of town.
Very good, James. Hey, can I get your last name?
Macbeth.
Chelsea Rios.
Hello, my name is Chelsea Rios, and I'm a project manager and owner of McCullough Construction. We are a minority and Native American owned heavy civil construction company based out of Arcata. We've been in business for a little over 35 years. I'm speaking again tonight with the same motive that I had in the last meeting, and that is to notify the Humboldt Bay Harbor District that there are qualified local contractors that are interested in your upcoming projects, but are concerned that they will not be able to participate if the language in the PLA agreement is not inclusive or equitable to our local merit shop contractors. McCullough Construction, like many other local contractors, employ talented local tradesmen and women that want to build in our local community. I ask that you please afford them that opportunity to participate in your project by including language in the PLA that allows them to work. Thank you for your time.
Thanks, Chelsea. Atticus. And I'll ask Atticus for your last name too, as well.
Yes, thank you. Can you hear me?
Yes.
So I'm just calling tonight because I've heard some rumors about this project. And so I'm not a normal attendee of your meetings. And so I wanted to know, I've heard that there's a PLA for this project, which is very disturbing to me because of the fact that over 85% of all the contractors in Humboldt County are non-union. And of course, everyone knows a PLA requires that all the contractors on the project either be union or signatories to the union for that project. And, if you want to say to 8 out of 10 of your constituents to pound sand that they can't work on this project unless they join a union and pay dues that they'll never receive benefits for, I think that's a problem. And so I may have it all wrong. I hope I'm wrong, but I'd like to know more about it. If there is a PLA, I'd like to see it. The public would like to read it. I don't want any backdoor deals going on with all the money that's being spent and will be spent in the future. So thank you for your time. I appreciate it.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Atticus. Can I get the last name? All right, Lori. Lori DeVoist.
Hi, good evening, and thank you. My name is Lori DeVoist, and I represent Pearson Company, a local Humboldt County family-owned and operated general contractor who's been supporting, working for, and giving back to the local community for generations. I personally have been in the construction industry and with Pearson Company for over 28 years. We are concerned that the boilerplate project labor agreements will exclude most of our local contractors. We request that you include language in this agreement that allows our local general contractors and subcontractors to work on these projects. As you know, we are behind the Redwood Curtain up here in Humboldt. These PLAs may work in the large cities and the urban areas, but here in Humboldt, it will exclude many of the hardworking, locally invested businesses. These businesses are our family, our friends, and our neighbors, along with the taxpayers that support this community. We would like to be assured that the board commissioners will meet with and listen to our local merit shop contractors. Also, we feel that it's critical that the Humboldt Builders Exchange has a seat at the table when negotiating any labor agreements required for the construction of these future projects. The Humboldt Builders Exchange represents us and most of the other contractors and subcontractors in this community. And they will help make sure that these local builders will have opportunities to participate in this project, ensuring local jobs and enhancing our economy by keeping more of the construction funds local. I appreciate your time and allowing me to have my say.
Thanks, Lori. We're moving on to Eric Christian. Eric? You may be muted.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Good evening. My name is Eric Christian. I'm the executive director of the Coalition for Fair Employment and Construction. We are a statewide organization in California that was formed 24 years ago solely to oppose discriminatory and wasteful project labor agreements. I'm calling you today to remind you that what is being discussed right now, the troubling nature of what's being discussed at your entity is something that's going to implicitly and explicitly exclude the vast majority of the workmen and women in that region who choose to wake up on a daily basis and work in a union-free environment. I'm not sure how this is supposed to help local workers when the vast majority, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, belong to non-union entities. Any decision that's made going forward needs to include these non-union companies in the discussion. They should not be forced to work with union workers from out of state and out of the area as part of their workforce when they have young men and women that already work for them locally. Number two, any worker that does work on these projects and all this work coming up should not be forced to give up their current health, welfare, and pension benefits and send those monies instead to a union trust fund they will never vest in, thereby having that money stolen from them. Union vesting requirements are 5 to 10 years. That's completely unacceptable. And there's no need to put that in any project labor agreement because it does nothing for anybody other than to dissuade non-union contractors from bidding the work at all. Finally, all state approved apprentices should be able to work on your projects under any PLA that's quote unquote negotiated. So we just encourage the board to, if there is a need for a PLA, which nobody's demonstrated why there is a need, it's just simply a political tool. But if there is going to be negotiations for a project labor agreement, it's to include all stakeholders at the table, something that we saw, for instance, in Sonoma County, where Sonoma County welcomed and sat down for over a year with all stakeholders in the industry to discuss the contents of a PLA. And that's the first thing that should happen. We don't want to be excluding people. We don't want to be stealing their hard-earned dollars. And we don't want to be making projects more expensive when we're already experiencing record inflation in the industry, record construction inflation, as we are experiencing inflation across the board. But in the construction industry, it's truly terrible, and a PLA will make it even worse. Thank you for your time.
Thanks, Eric. Nicole Goring. Nicole?
Sorry about that. I was talking while I was muted. Nicole Goring with Associated Builders and Contractors Northern California chapter. I've been advocating for our workers to continue to work on their quality projects have been working on them for over two decades, building your community. There is a majority of the local construction community up in your area that are not signatory to unions. And so you would really be damaging your community by putting something in place if you didn't allow for the local construction professionals to be able to build their community. The local construction professionals and their apprentices that they wish to use. The project labor agreements that I've seen have all pretty much been restrictive in nature, and they haven't helped with increasing the numbers in the construction industry that we desperately need. We have a local demand in our state right now. We need over 600,000 workers. And so we can't be restricting pipelines and opportunities for people to do work. They're going to have to travel outside their community, which is more difficult to do, to find work. I would encourage you to look at an alternative solution, like a workforce development plan, where you look and see how you can actually train more people to work on your projects in your community and get more people working by partnering possibly with the city and with different training groups such as ours up in the area. Yeah, I would urge you listen to your local contracting community. They are among the greatest construction professionals out there. Please survey them, work with them on language that's agreeable to them. Put something together that includes the people in your community, because that is the most important thing that you can do, is to provide work opportunities for your community. So thank you for giving me this time to speak this evening.
Thank you, Nicole. Pamela Shaw.
Hi, my name is Pamela Shaw. I am the engagement officer with Associated Builders and Contractors Northern California chapter. ABC NorCal represents more than 500 companies, both large and small, across Northern California and in the North Bay. We are the construction professionals right here in your community, building your community. We operate state and federally approved apprenticeship programs in painting, plumbing, carpentry, electrical, and construction craft labor. We also oversee the training for California Fire Sprinkler Association. ABC NorCal is committed to helping people earn and learn and build the construction careers in their communities. In addition to providing work opportunities in the industry, we ensure folks are trained, safe, and deliver the highest quality of products possible. For over 45 years, ABC NorCal has done its part in training the skilled workforce in the construction trades, training over 1,800 state and federally approved apprentices, journey workers, and craft trainees each year, a vital component of sustainability for our industry. Our diverse apprentice, journey workers, and craft trainees come from all walks of life. Some are fresh out of high school. Some are starting a second career and desire a fresh start. They emerge from our programs with a good paying job, health benefits, and skills, and training that they can take to their career in many different directions. The path, is truly a path of endless opportunities. ABC NorCal also, with its partners and programs, has a proven track record of reducing recidivism rates, improve job readiness skills, and create long-term employment. Our partnership is a vital piece to ensuring a pathway out of poverty for participants and critical service to the California construction community. Please keep all work open to those who live and work here. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Pamela. Our next speaker is just signified by Samsung. I don't know your name. Would you please let me know your name, first and last?
Yes. Rick Souza.
Hi, Rick.
Hey, good evening. Good evening to the Board of Commissioners. And I'd like to thank you for all the work that you and others have done to bring offshore wind to Humboldt Bay to service the West Coast. And like I said, my name is Rick Souza, president of Local 14, Eureka, California. And I can tell you that the IOWU is thrilled to see this huge undertaking coming to Humboldt Bay. We know that continued investment in offshore wind is essential in order to advance the country's renewable energy goals. And we are eager for the extraordinary opportunities this investment will provide for the community and our members. IOWU members have moved cargo at the Port of Humboldt since 1937. With nearly a century of experience, our members have both the knowledge and the historic footprint necessary to be a key player in the burgeoning offshore wind industry's workforce. The IOWU is committed to working with federal and state governments, harbor district, and local stakeholders to ensure a timely rollout of offshore wind at the Port of Humboldt and beyond, and look forward to opportunities for continued collaborations as the project unfolds. We strongly believe that the IOWU can play a critical role in ensuring that offshore wind energy jobs, from turbine unloading to offshore wind platform maintenance and barge transport, are safe, well-paying union jobs. We're committed to achieving a just transition for workers currently employed in extractive industries who deserve the opportunity to participate in the new green economy. For over three decades, our longshore members in Vancouver, Washington, Longview, Washington, Portland, Oregon, Stockton, and Sacramento, California have played a critical role in unloading and transporting components for massive onshore wind turbines up and down the West Coast of the United States. With that, again, I'll reiterate, thank you guys for all your hard work and for what you put into this, and it's really appreciated. Have a good night.
Thank you, Rick. T. Hooven, you're up next.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, tell me your first last name.
It's Tim Hooven. I'm with Hooven and Company in McKinleyville. We're a local general engineering contractor. Been in business since 1977. And I would just like to encourage the district to study this PLA and maybe appoint a stakeholders group and look at the effect it's going to have on the local construction industries. I read through some of it today, and it seems like it's written like the merit shop, you know, those folks don't exist, even though we're 85% of the construction workforce. So I was just seeing how it would affect our workforce if we were to bid on any of this work or if we were interested. And Section 861 talks about how merit shop contractor is allowed three employees on the project. These three employees will be working alongside with three employees called from the union out of work list. So my question is, what about the rest of our employees? So I guess the local residents, the you know, the people that have been living here all along, we go on to the out of work list. And I think that's not fair. And it's, I think it would be great if you guys could get some kind of coalition together, some kind of committee, and go through and talk about these kinds of issues, because this is a huge document. It's a huge project. And you need to, you know, make sure that the local residents are taken care of. You have the tribes to think about, and there's a lot of people, kids coming out of school, and they, you know, there's not much for them to do, or they don't want to do stuff. I don't know, but it's an opportunity for those kind of people to get a trade and get a skill, and then, you know, stay around here instead of bringing people in from out of the area, sending all the pension money and all that away. You know, it's just, you guys are a local government agency, and it seems like you should really take the locals into consideration. So thank you for your time.
Thank you, Tim. Anyone else wish to speak to items not on the agenda? Please signify by speaking up or raising your hand. All right. Thank you for your comments. They will be followed up on. We're going to move into item 8, consent calendar. I have a motion and a second. Larry, do we need a roll call on that?
Commissioner Newman?
Yes.
Commissioner Coleman?
Yes.
Commissioner Marks?
Yes.
And Commissioner Dale?
Yes. Item 9, communications. Executive Director's Report.
I wanted to say is that we did get some correspondence, and that a couple of months ago we voted on the LAMCO members, and all of the members that we voted for were elected.
I'm sorry, is that the all the members of LAFCO that we voted for were also appointed, and so the LAFCO membership will be Doug Couch, Ed Duggan, Michael Hansen, and Troy Nicolini are the members that were appointed, and I wanted to relay that to the board. And then on the, could you do the quick slide? So really the, yeah, go to the second one. Really, the primary one was really a pivotal moment for Humboldt Bay, as we all know, and was discussed at the last with most of the people in the public comments. So dealing with the project labor agreements and all the other impacts that are going to start ramifications through the community. It was really an important moment for the district, and something that I think that we're all proud to be working on. There's a lot of issues that still need to be worked on. But there's a whole lot of opportunities out there, and that we're committed to working on those. So associated with that, there's been a whole series of follow-up meetings that happened with elected officials from the statewide level, and also having communications with people in the federal and other industry people that are working on this. And so it's something that is keeping staff busy, but at the same time, we continue to have our eye on maintaining our existing facilities and really continuing to do the maintenance and providing the services to Woodley Island, the Fields Landing Boatyard, and all the other services that we provide to our area, including the conservation programs, the Spartina eradication, and all those things we continue to do. So, Chris, I'll turn that over to you.
Hey, thank you. Well, a brief facilities report tonight. I want to recognize Robert Probel. He was promoted to maintenance manager. Robert started with the district some time ago and has worked through the ranks here. He began a night shift walking the docks, ran Fields Landing Boatyard for us, went down to Shelter Cove and managed those affairs, came back to the boatyard, and now he's our new maintenance manager. So this is, you know, weldments are continuing. Something I've been reporting on regularly, but we know we have a significant amount of repairs necessary for the docks. So we're continuing that, and you'll probably be seeing slides on that quite a bit.
Those don't look like Robert's hands.
Those are Scott's hands.
Okay.
unfortunately, we're a lost a vessel. This is the Miss Angra. This is from the Severia family. And this is the boat that as I understand it, Manny started with. Unfortunately, it went down this past week, not this week, but last. And we brought ZNZ Marine in to help raise the vessel. There was no environmental damage. The nice thing is the responsible boat owner had pumped the boat dry, was maintaining it regularly. So they made the choice to go ahead and demo the vessel. So this is one of the last vintage boats in the fleet that was still registered. And while it wasn't currently fishing, it was a registered vessel. So this last Sunday, we got a call about 9 o'clock in the morning for a spill that was a release on BDOC. Took about 225 paths to clean it up. It was oil, so probably came out of a bilge system. We found no known source. U.S. Coast Guard OSPR reported to the scene along with the Harbor District staff. And I think Robert Tation and Max Emery, who came in on their day off, along with Robert Probolt, to support this. And then we're still working out Redwood Marine Terminal 1. We graded the road for winter access. We all know the road out there is a bit challenging, but we do have a number of fishermen that use that for gear preparation. This is obviously a very important time of the year as they prepare their crab pots and other equipment for their big season ahead. We repaired some damage to the floating camels. So at the very end of that photograph, there is our 110 hoist. There are camels in there, which allow the boats to come up and get near the dock for unloading, and they broke loose recently. And then we've been doing a lot of repairs on that one ton hoist, but we've got to keep it open. This is our vital season. So did that. And I think there's just one more repair of the camels. So you know what I'm talking about. So those two black logs, if you will, those are floating camels. And those broke loose and were free. So we had to replace the chains, and then they are anchored down into the base of the bay. And so appreciate all the hard work of the crew. We have 7 of them plus Robert, and they've done a remarkable job.
Thanks, Chris. District Council?
I had a brief report on some new Brown Act legislation, but we'll save that until the agenda item later on.
Okay, thank you. Commissioner and committee reports. Commissioner Newman?
Well, we had a fisherman subcommittee meeting. Commissioner Coleman and I Monday evening talked to the many members of the Humboldt Bay's commercial fishing fleet about some of the new changes that may be coming about with the wind energy projects and some of the other concerns. Let you add some report. Today, the crabs were taken for the quality test for the upcoming crab season. Substantial amount of crabs came into Kiowa Fisheries today. It'll be processed tomorrow, and we'll get numbers on probably Monday. I had a meeting with the volunteer fireboat people. What do we call that committee?
They're fireboat.
Okay, and some of the members are really taking a lead, and it's really good. Glad to see things are going good there as the fire boat liaison to the commission. Other than that, I'm heading out black cod fishing as soon as this is over. So I'll move on to the next guy.
Thanks. Not much else to report. Like Chair Newman said, we had a meeting with the fishermen subcommittee earlier this week, which was a good meeting. Got a lot of feedback and heard some concerns, but I think there was a lot of excitement about some potential projects that we might be able to do together. Other than that, not much else to report. So let it go to one of Richard's final reports.
Is this your final report?
This is my final report.
I'm sure I'll hear more from you.
And as far as reports go, I would just thinking about our secondary treatment plant that we helped with the process so they could use our outfall and be able to expand the town of Samoa, which is in the process of serving each one of the different homes that were built in the 18 and early 1900s. And they're up for sale. They're selling them as fast as they're putting them on the market now. and they've been actually fixing them up one by one. You could fetch a house, in Sonora Mill right now, four bedrooms with two baths, $355,000. So it's been so quickly. With that, I have nothing to report.
Well, thank you, Commissioner Marks. Is the house next door to you? If it is, I'll buy it. I'll move in next to you.
It's right next door to my neighbors.
Oh, okay. So we've had kind of an interesting couple of weeks. I went for a boat ride with staff out in the bay. It's been a while since I got to go around and look at things in the bay. It was kind of fun. Did that this week. Since our last meeting, we had our announcement with Crowley. That was definitely interesting and exciting. What else we got, Larry? What else have we done? There's one more thing. Well, I'm glad to see all these people, you know, honestly commenting. It's nice to have people commenting in our meetings again, and it's really nice to have something to actually comment about. So I'm pretty excited that we at least have something in the works that's going to drive some work in this community and some development in this community, and I'm glad people are paying attention. All right, any correspondence? You said we had some correspondence.
I already went over and did the correspondence. I was early. Thank you.
So we're going to move on to new business. Consider adopting resolution 2022-14, certifying the environmental impact report previously adopted by Humboldt County and establishing findings relative to and approving Harbor District permit 2022-02 with conditions for the Humboldt Bay master water intakes. And I believe we're going to continue this.
We're recommending that you pull this item from the agenda.
Okay. Do we need a motion for that? Yeah. So we are going to remove that, and we'll hear that at a later date. Not sure when that will come back to us at this point. So we're going to move on to item B. Authorize the executive director to negotiate and enter into an agreement for bond counsel services to support the dredging of Woodley Island Marina.
I say.
Let's hear what Larry's got to say. Chris has got to say.
Good evening. Thank you. This is an agreement that will allow our executive director to negotiate, as it says, and enter into an agreement for bond counsel services. And this is mainly to support the dredging of Woodley Island Marina. So as we know from a recent dredge survey, we are at our maximum and we need to dredge approximately 75,000 cubic yards. We hired a local firm to give us an assessment of Woodley Island Marina and came up with some dredge polygons to calculate some potential volumes. We reported on that, I believe, on September 8th in our September 8th meeting. The Weiss Law Firm is a group that specializes in such services, and what they would do is help us secure financing so we could dredge. There are other considerations given in this. If you look at the staff report, there are a few other potential items that we can enter into. So in the agreement itself, it talks about dredging at Woodley Island Marina and some capital improvement projects that need to be done. That would be most notably float replacement and the roof here at Woodley Island Marina and our main buildings. There also is the potential for some refunding of long-term unfunded CalPERS liability. So this is a little bit more comprehensive because we would enter into an agreement with them for a specified period of time to represent us for those services. But right now, our main focus would be to see what we can do in terms of dredging. So the Weiss Law Firm would take the performance that we've provided them, which is a snapshot of our budget, and see what we can qualify for in terms of having a leveraged net operating income loan. And based on that, we would come back with options to the board, and we could examine at a further time whether or not we wanted to indebt our income for dredging or other capital improvements. If there's any specific questions, we do have Cameron Wiest, who who was kind enough on his travel time to join us. So if there's any discussion necessary, we could potentially call on him. That is not required.
Okay, just want to add that, you know, back in February of 2020, you know, the board had a subcommittee where we looked at like the dredge surcharge fee and other things. And then at the conclusion of that, as we increased the dredge surcharge fee, you know, onto the tenants as part of this commitment that we really need to raise money and that we would actually take the money, account for all the dredge surcharge money that we've received, and then really work towards implementing. And really, it's part of this commitment and transparency and all of these things that I think we really have to kind of recognize is that it was really the work of the subcommittee, you know, the commitment of all the people to continue to pay into those dredge surcharge funds. And then now in coupled with the dredge surcharge funds, which we all said that the dredge surcharge was not going to be sufficient capital to pay for dredging. There was going to have to be additional resources that the Harbor District was going to have to bring to the table in order to cover the cost because it's so expensive to dredge. And it's because of the offshore wind project, the Nordic projects, and the other revenues, you know, that we can really start to get the district back into these operational levels. And so I just wanted to make sure that we recognized that it was really the dredge surcharge fee payments and other things that we're kind of getting to this point today.
Thanks, Larry. Any comments from the board, questions?
No, it's just nice that we have some income to borrow against.
It's definitely time we need the village. I think I'm fishing tide after this meeting, so I had to tie my bow and then go to Sea Dock because if I left there until 7:30 tonight, I might not have got out of my stuff.
I really, when you brought up Cameron Weiss, I was like remembering when we grew up in Myrtle, right down the street from me. Slew down the Cameron. It's a small world.
All right.
Ask Cameron if he remembers.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm sure he does. Yeah. So, any comments? Anybody in the audience wish to comment on this item? I see one hand up. Scott Frazier.
Thank you, Chairman Dale. I raised my hand for the last item. And I think the action you took may have been appropriate due to errors that were in the written description, but I'd like to see, it appears you had a discussion outside of the meeting about pulling that. What was the reason for pulling the agenda item 11A?
It's our discretion to pull that. We did. We'll revisit it at another time. Do you wish to comment on item B?
No, thank you.
Anybody else wish to comment on item 11B? Seeing none, we're going to move on and we have a motion and a second. Larry, we'll roll call.
Mr. Newman.
Yes.
Mr. Marks.
Yes.
Mr. Coleman.
Yes.
And President Dale.
Yes. So we're moving on to item 11C. We're going to talk about reopening to in-person board meetings. Larry, you want to talk about it?
I'll just briefly start out. And you know, it seems like we're coming to the end of the Brown Act exemptions, and Ryan could go into that more. And so we feel like we want to open it up for the board. We want to for the public. And then if you take the action to open up the meeting, then what that might mean procedurally as far as, you know, the board being present and not necessarily being able to participate by Zoom, and then how we might treat public comments. What staff is really envisioning, if you do decide to open this up, is that we would continue to broadcast the meeting on Zoom the way that we've always done it, that people could look on the agenda, they could click on Zoom, they could view and access the meetings live, but we would not receive public comment via Zoom. In order to do public comment, you would have to be in person to receive the public comment. And so that's kind of is the procedure that we are looking at. And there's a whole host of reasons for that, is that I myself, although we haven't experienced it ourselves, I've been in a number of different meetings at other agencies where there's been problems with the public comments, either lack of internet or other things. And it really kind of created a disruption with the receiving public comment. There is the possibility that for certain reports or other staff reports that we may have Zoom testimony, or not testimony, but Zoom reports from some remote locations for certain individual things, but that would not be sort of a public testimony type of an event. And so I don't know if you wanted to add anything else, Ryan.
Yeah, I just add that, you know, currently under AB 361, which the board readopted tonight via consent, we can continue to meet as we are now. That is, AB 361 lasts through December 2023. However, it's primarily contingent upon the governor's state of emergency remaining in place. And indications are that the state of emergency will be rescinded February 28th, 2023, which would then place the board in the position of having to determine, in order to utilize AB 361, that closing the meeting to in-person attendance would present an imminent health and safety risk. That may be the case in the future, but at this point, I'm not sure the board can make those findings. And so once the state of emergency is rescinded, then we're back into the normal Brown Act protocol, which requires the board to be in person and in a meeting that's openly accessible to the public in person. There is new Brown Act legislation that's set to go into effect January 1, 2023. That Brown Act legislation will allow less than a quorum of the board to participate remotely if the member participating remotely can show either just cause or an emergency circumstance. Emergency circumstance is health and safety issues. So for example, if that particular board member was sick, that would be an emergency circumstance that would allow that member to Zoom in, call in, otherwise participate remotely. If that occurs, the meeting has to be, the public too has to be able to participate remotely, including public comment, if that particular method is used for a board member. Just cause would be, the new statute enumerates it, but it's childcare issues, it's traveling on official business, it's other enumerated, you know, common sense just cause reasons that would allow a member to participate remotely. That can be used twice per member per calendar year. Emergency circumstances are not limited in the number of times, but it is more narrowly defined. And so really, once the state of emergency is rescinded, we're for the most part back to how we were prior to COVID, with the opportunity under this new legislation for a member every now and again to Zoom in, call in for just cause or emergency circumstances. And I've provided a memo to Larry and the staff, and I can send that to the board members as well, that describes the new legislation.
Thanks, Chris. Yeah, absolutely.
So previously to the pandemic, a member could call in remotely as long as the place that they were calling in was accessible by the public. Would that still be an option?
Yeah. So the standard teleconferencing provisions of the Brown Act remain. The location from which the board member is teleconferencing has to be listed on the agenda. and the particular location has to be accessible and open to the public. It's rarely used because of the owner's requirements, but that is still an option.
Any other comments? Commissioner Newman, Commissioner Marks? I for one, welcome going back to the real meeting. Do I have a motion?
But do we have to decide
it's when discussing. We should do it on December.
I'm sorry. I should have mentioned that. My recommendation was to do this at the next month because we'll be swearing in a new board member, and we thought that would be a good kind of opportunity to, in case they wanted to have a family or anybody here, that we would open it up with the ceremonial piece.
Is that appropriate? Does that work for everybody else?
I guess, yeah,
you will be.
As long as Richard's here, we'll do it in December. Otherwise,
yeah. Okay. So you got to be here for the meeting.
My motion is, if Richard is at the meeting, I'll make a motion that we open up the starting with the December board meeting to the public.
A second.
Any comments from the virtual audience? Seeing none, we're going to move on to a vote. Larry?
Commissioner Newman?
Yes.
Commissioner Coleman?
Yes.
Commissioner Marks?
Yes.
And President Dale?
Yes. All right. Moving on to item D, consider adopting resolution 2022-15, a resolution commending Richard Marks for his service as commissioner of the Humboldt Bay Harbor Recreation and Conservation District.
Motion that we adopt resolution 2022-15, a resolution commending Richard Marks for his service as a commissioner for the Humboldt Bay Harbor Recreation and Conservation District.
I'll second this very important resolution.
I have a motion and a second. I mean, how long have you been on here longer than I've been before I was born, right? you've been on here a long time.
2000.
Well, close.
So before you take the vote, Mindy wanted to give Richard some softball-shaped cookies in commemorations of all the work that Richard does on his most important project for the community, which is softball. And so I wanted to make sure that you had those, Richard.
Thank you very much.
Is the president going to read the resolution?
Whereas. All right. Do you want me to read it?
Maybe just you can pick some of the high points.
The high points? We're gonna find it here.
I know. It's 3 pages.
Yeah, 3 pages of whereas.
Oh my god,
yeah. We got carried away. All right. So I would like to read this. A resolution commending Richard Marks. Whereas Richard Marks was first elected by the voters of the 4th Division on November 3rd, 2009, to a second term on November 5th, 2013, and to a third term on November 6th, 2018. That was a long time ago. Whereas Richard Marks chose not to run for re-election in 2022 in order to move to Sacramento to be closer to his grandchildren, and whereas Richard Marks served in various offices of the Harbor District, including its president, 2014, 2015, 2017, 2018, its vice president, 2012, 2013, and its secretary in 2010, 2011, and 2022. And whereas Richard Marks served honorably on Board of Commissioners ad hoc and standing committees, including the Samoa Peninsula Infrastructure Committee, the 2x2 Committee with the City of Eureka and the Harbor District, the Offshore Wind Energy Subcommittee, the Committee for Union Negotiations, the Humboldt Bay Development Association, the Economic Development Committee, the Personnel Policy Committee, the Budget Committee, the Committee for Cruise Ship itinerary sites, served on REDEC, New Harbor Committee, and the Labor Negotiation Committee. And whereas Richard Marks represented the Harbor District and Humboldt County in many areas, including meeting with the Humboldt Bay Water District regarding commercial water usage, attending public scoping meetings for mariculture pre-permitting, participated in the Shelter Cove meetings, attended prosperity meetings to grow Humboldt County's economy, attended Humboldt Fishermen's Marketing Association meetings, participated in the California Maritime Leadership Symposium, served as a board member for the Humboldt Domestic Violence Services, attended Timber Heritage Association meetings, served as the director of California Cannabis Voice Humboldt, attended Headwaters board meetings, was involved in creating the Humboldt Bay Eelgrass Management Plan, attended the Humboldt Bay Symposium, attended CMAC meetings, attended offshore wind energy conferences, and served at the district rep as the district representative of ACWA, JPIA, and this just keeps going and going, Richard. Richard Marks dedicated efforts to improve Humboldt by helping to create the Peninsula Community Services District, served as an advocate for the North Coast Railroad Authority, worked on the Rails with Trails project, was a part of an eelgrass management workshop, and served as a volunteer with the Samoa Peninsula Fire Department. And whereas Richard Marks was a part of the Harbor District team that negotiated the purchase of the Freshwater Tissue Company, later named the Redwood Terminal 2, affected the cleanup of the Redwood Terminal 2 property, avoiding a potential catastrophic event for Humboldt Bay, whereby allowing economic development and the creation of jobs, all while representing former mill workers, having himself worked at the mill for nearly 30 years. And whereas Richard Marks was part of the Harbor District team that negotiated a lease with Crowley Wind Services Group to serve as the port developer of Humboldt Bay Offshore Wind Heavy Lift Terminal. And Richard Marks was named as Democrat of the Year in 2021 by the Humboldt County Democrats. And whereas Richard Marks fulfilled his duties of office with passion, knowledge, and consideration. Whereas Richard Marks became a friend, a mentor, and a respected colleague. And whereas one cannot recognize Richard Marks without mentioning his love of softball and his devotion to the sport, serving as president of the Mad River Softball Association for many years. And Richard Marks has left a lasting legacy with numerous positive accomplishments around Humboldt Bay, and Richard will be sorely missed. Now, therefore, the Board of Commissioners of the Humboldt Bay Harbor Recreation and Conservation District does hereby resolve as follows: that the commissioners of the Humboldt Bay Harbor Recreation and Conservation District do hereby express our heartfelt appreciation for the best efforts and contributions of Richard Marks as a commissioner, and herein wish him the best in all of his future endeavors.
Half for you, Richard, and half for you making it through that.
Yeah, no kidding. How anybody wish to say anything?
Miss you.
I don't think you raised your hand. You can't do it.
It's been a pleasure and honor serving with you, Richard. Greg to read that to everybody could hear the ridiculous amount of things that you've done for the district, and I don't know if we miss many or not.
We miss a lot. I got to tell you, Richard, I looked through my pictures and I failed to put them on the screen, but I have a lot of fond memories of working with you, and my favorite picture of all is us standing in front of that truck at the pulp mill, that tank truck that came, and it was the most, that was the most nerve-wracking period of my life to see that happen and to get that done. And that picture was the pinnacle of, at that point, of what the Harbor District can and did do. And I think I thank you for your efforts there. The second picture I came across was I left my phone sitting on the counter, and some idiot picked it up and did a selfie with it, and it might have been Richard. And I couldn't figure out, I couldn't get my phone back on. It screwed my whole phone up. And then I have a memory, and I'll never forget it. Our first meeting in Shelter Cove. Do you remember that? And all I remember is people started early, and they were very upset with the Harbor District. And I had no idea why, but Richard, they were yelling at us, and they were starting to get angrier and angrier. And Richard would go, "We'll talk about that in a minute." He would bang the gavel really quiet like that, and nobody could hear him. Nobody's paying any attention. He'd say, "You're out of order. You're out of order." And pretty soon, and he kept up, and the meeting, it all came together, and in the end. We all went out to dinner together. Had a pickled egg at the.
We ended up at the bar.
Well, that was dinner. That was dinner. Remember, they had pickled eggs and hot dogs. And I'll never forget watching you with that little gavel. You handled that meeting beautifully. It was an inspiration. Anybody that's ever run a meeting, that was an inspiration. I enjoyed thoroughly negotiating the last union contract we had with the staff here with you. That was fun, and it was successful for both the staff and for the district. And so it was a win-win. I've learned a ton from you, Richard, over the years, watching you, being your compatriot up here, and I thank you for your friendship. And I did read the whole thing. You got anything to say?
Yes, I do.
Oh, Jesus, here we go.
It's like, you know, somebody that has their hand up.
Well, he's got, he gets to go first, then public comment gets to go.
First of all, I just want to thank all the former commissioners and current commissioners, former commissioner Roy Groves, Roy Greeney, Larry Doss, and I'm really sorry for your loss, Larry. Mike Wilson, the supervisor, current commissioners, Aaron, Dale, Higgins is not here, I don't know where he went, Coleman, you guys are all fantastic. It's part of a team, and then you guys all always been there, we all work together, it's very positive. I'm so fortunate. I'm also thankful of staff, former staff, Executive Director Jack Kreider, and of course, current Executive Director Larry Ocker. You've been great. Chris Mickelson, thank you for answering my phone calls when things are bad. Mindy, you are fantastic on getting back to me every time I have a question or anything. And I've just been so fortunate to work with staff. Even legal counsel, Ryan Plotz, is great, you know, and answers everything very straightforward. And you know, the one I'd really appreciate and I want to thank is my wife. She put up with a lot of different committees that I've been on. Of course, Robin has also, you know, been a trustee for Northern Humboldt Union High School District and different school boards. And so she's been busy, and she was the president of the Humboldt Domestic Violence Services. You know, there's a lot of things coming up. There's dredging. It's going to be very important. It's going to be a hot topic, you know, for us to get that done. And of course, this wind energy project that, you know, I'm bailing and it's just beginning and it's going to be huge. It's going to be huge for the county. We're going to be a driver. The Harbor District is going to be a driver of the economy of Humboldt County. I'm just glad to be a part of that, at the infancy of that. We've already saw all the gains that have been at Terminal 2 with all the employees that have taken over and have matched the wages that workers made before that. And of course, you know, the, you know, we're talking Nordic, awkward, for cooking for my campaigns and hot dogs. Financing. Thank you very much. You guys are all fantastic. I can't say enough. That's it. Thank you.
Well said. Thanks, Richard. We still have to vote on this. Oh, all we have to go to the public. Yes. Scott Frazier.
Commissioner Martin, thank you for your service. Congratulations. Could you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, we can hear you.
Thanks, Scott.
Thank you. Congratulations, Richard.
Samson? Rick? Rick Souza, you want to speak? Anybody wish to comment?
Can you hear me?
Gotcha. Hello.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can, Rick.
Okay. I'd just like to thank Richard Marks for his years of service for the 4th District. And, you know, listening to everything he served on is pretty impressive. But I can't blame him for leaving that position for his grandkids. I tell you what, having grandkids, if I could have figured out how to have them first, I'd have done it. But enjoy your time, Richard.
Thank you very much.
You bet.
Thanks, Rick. Anyone else wish to comment on this item? Seeing none, we're going to take it to a vote.
Commissioner Coleman.
Yes.
Commissioner Newman.
Yes.
Commissioner Marks. And President Dale.
Yes. Wholeheartedly. All right. So with that, I think we are adjourned. Thank you, Richard. And everyone, please remember what tomorrow is and think accordingly. Have a good evening.